know, obviously the with some with some injuries and with a couple other things, I got my opportunity, and I just made the most of it and just have, you know, trying to just take it in and ran with it ever since.
Niner linebacker Fred Warner here on the Damon Bruce Show. They talk about a rookie wall. Obviously, if you've hit it, you've come through it by now with only one game left. Was there a point in time in this year where you felt like, wow, this is officially the most amount of football I've ever had thrown on me?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, you get to find out pretty quick that it's a long season. You know, I think I kind of started to feel it, you know, kind of halfway through the season. You know, by the time we hit that bye week, I was really happy we had that week off just to kind of, you know, regroup and collect myself for the rest of the season. But, I mean, the rookie wall, I feel like it is real. But as long, for me, it was more about just focusing on, you know, just one game at a time. And that's what kind of kept me steady throughout the entire season.
What do you know now that you didn't know on day one that might have helped? Like, what's the biggest lesson you take away from your first season in the NFL?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I feel like the league is all about consistency, you know, consistency in your preparation, day in and day out, and then what you do in the game. You know, I feel like every single week I learn something new. You know, I might get something down, and then I mess something else up in the game, and I got to try and fix that. So, continuing it always to improve on something, you know, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And so I feel like that's the mindset you got to have in the NFL.
Fred, who's been the toughest guy to bring down this year? What running back is just all knees and elbows?
Oh, knees and elbows. Man, I mean, we played some really good backs this year. The one that probably sticks out of my mind because he's one of the freshest is Chris Carson from the Seahawks. He's a really good back. He runs hard. He's fast. He's agile, you know. So I think he's got the full package, and I think he's been doing really well this season.
Dude, he had a hell of an effort, a second effort to get in on that goal line. It looked like you had him down, and then he still punched his way in a couple weeks ago.
I know, yeah, you know. So he was a tough back. He's doing his thing.
If I'm a rookie playing defense, and Richard Sherman is on my team, even though he's not my position, I try to move into his garage and just learn as much as I can from him. Fred, what has Richard Sherman taught you about the NFL?
Man, where do I start? Richard, man, everybody calls him Uncle Sherm. You know, he's just been huge for this team, this organization. I know it's his first year, but, you know, I feel like it was one of the first weeks I was here in the off season, and he just kind of came up to me and started talking to me, asking me what I expected of myself this season, where I saw myself, and you know, he just kind of gave me some tips and things to think about. He's been with me all the way through this season. You know, it's having a guy like Richard Sherman out there, you know, in the heat of battle, in the huddle with me as a young guy, you know, it brings a lot of a lot of comfort for me. Being out there to be able to have confidence in what I'm telling the guys and giving those calls out, you know, because that guy, he's playing at a high level for a really long time, and when he speaks, we listen, and he always backs it up with his actions.
He backed it up against the Chicago Bears. I saw him let those hands go.
Yeah, we won't talk about that one. We won't talk about that one. But yeah, he's like I said, he's been huge for us. We all really respect that guy.
Fred Warner from the 49ers here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, especially lately, man, this defense has played very well. What do you attribute the slow start to this season, and to what do you think is a reason why you guys have put it together the last couple weeks?
Yeah, you know, I feel like this season we've had a lot of new guys being put at different positions all year long, you know, with injuries. You know, we played a lot of DBs this year, a lot of young guys, obviously with me being a rookie at the mic position. You know, having that continuity now where we have some guys in place, you know, having the same guys play in these last few weeks, I feel like that's what's been able to, you know, for us to be able to play better ball. We're able to rely on one another, have that trust, just the repetition. And, go out there and just make plays.
There are definitely a lot of new guys to put on the same page. And then obviously what happened to Reuben Foster wasn't what anyone expected. A lot of us thought that the two of you would be playing together for years, and obviously things didn't work out. How close did you get to Reuben? How disappointed are you that it didn't work out? And what lessons do you apply from that situation to yourself going forward?
Sure. Yeah, Rube, I mean, I love Reuben, man. He was a great person. You know, I just wish more people could sit down and just have a conversation with him, or be with him on a day-to-day basis like myself or our room was. You know, he's obviously, everybody saw what he did on the field, outstanding athlete and player. You know, it sucks what happened. I do wish him the best, and, you know, hopefully I can, you know, still stay in contact with him somehow in the future. But, you know, it is a good lesson to learn, you know, just to obviously be smart and off the field. You know, this guy is super bright, and, you know, I know he's made some tough decisions, but, you know, like I said, you got to make the right decisions all the time. And so that's probably what I've taken away from it.
Fred Warner, he was the right decision for John Lynch when he drafted him. He leads the team, 110 total tackles. Did you see your team? Did you see yourself in this position? I mean, really, I mean, it's kind of amazing the responsibilities that you've been asked to do. You're out there, you're calling plays, you got the dot sometimes. I mean, it's just, it's a lot been put on you. Is it tougher to adjust mentally or physically to this league?
Man, I think it's for sure a mental game. You know, everybody talks about how fast the game is at this level, how big everybody is. But honestly, like, you know, especially as a rookie, it all depends on how quick you can adjust and pick up information and be able to apply it on the field. You know, the speed and the strength, that all, I feel like at this level, everybody's so good that the level of the difference in the talent and the speed and strength and everything I've been talking about is very small. And so the difference that's made at this level is guys' mindset and obviously who can adjust. And so that's what I feel like is the biggest difference in the NFL.
Fred Warner, rookie linebacker from the Niners. You played your first season here under defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. What can you tell us about him as a coach? What has he taught you?
Yeah, Coach Saleh, man, he's been outstanding as a coach this year. You know, it hasn't been the year that anybody hoped for. You know, obviously for us and for our fans. But I think Coach Saleh, he's probably one of the best defensive minds in the game right now. He knows what he's doing, and you know, he has the right team in place. He's been able to teach me a lot throughout this season, and he's had confidence in me from day one since I've had that green dot on my helmet, even though I mess up all the time, and he still has all the confidence in me. He'll let me know when I mess up, though. But at the end of the day, I'm just really glad that he's our defensive coordinator, and you know, I feel like the future is bright with our defense under him.
Well, here's what I'd like to see Robert Saleh do for you in this final game of the year. Can we dial up one middle linebacker free blitz? Can we get you one red dog? You're still looking for your first sack of the year, young man.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to get just a free sack. You know, I got to beat somebody. I got to beat someone and hopefully get that back in.
Hey, Goff is a statue. Come on, go get him.
Right, yeah, I got you.
Fred Warner from the 49ers. Man, this is one last game, and then your offseason will begin. Obviously, you need to detach. You need to get away. You need to kind of put your body in an ice tub for at least a month and get right again. What are your offseason plans? Have you thought about how you're going to attack it?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned how, you know, you got to take some time off just to kind of regroup and let the body heal up. But I'm looking forward to training back in Southern California for those first few months of training. And then obviously we get back and we start different, you know, phases of the off-season training program here. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to having the off-season under my belt. Obviously your rookie year, before your rookie year, you have all that draft process, stuff that you have to go through. So having a real off season, I think, is going to be huge for me.
So did you grow up in San Diego worshiping at the altar of Junior Seau?
I think everybody did. You know, that guy's a legend, and always will be, to the whole San Diego area.
Well, obviously, you took on that position, man, and you've done really, really well. Congratulations on your rookie season. I know that it's been frustrating as a team, but looking for individual silver linings and what's been kind of a cloudy year, Fred, there's no doubt you are one of them for every single 49er fan, and you've jumped out in every game that they played, and not everybody on the defensive side of the ball has done that. So congratulations to you, man. It's been fun watching you develop this season. Our last question for you as we wrap up, and you're going to be the encore of the entire song list. Every single week we've asked a player, what is the last song that they've either bought or downloaded on iTunes? You didn't Spotify it, you didn't Pandora it, but it was so good or important to you, you bought it. You had to own it. Fred, what's the last song or album that you bought?
Oh, that is a great question. I think the last album that I downloaded was I think it was a Meek Mill. He just came out with a new album called Championships, and I think that's the last album I've downloaded.
Is that when he just got out of the clink and was sitting courtside at Sixers games?
I think so. It's a good one, though. So if you haven't learned to listen to it, I'll take a listen.
All right, little Meek Mill, I'll be put that on the list. We got a lot of good suggestions and a pretty good song list for the Niners put together. It's alluded this way. This is a list to get lit to. It really is. This is a good list. Hey, Fred, thanks very much, man. It was great talking to you. Really nice. Enjoyed our conversation, and best of luck to you in the offseason, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Fred Warner. That guy just sounds like he's got a good head on his shoulders, doesn't he? He sounds like his mama raised him right and said, you go be a good boy and be a good boy at BYU. And he said, yes, mom, I'll do that. And he has turned himself into a very, very, very successful young man at an early age with a bright future in the NFL. That was good, man. I liked him an awful lot. By the way, Meek Mill, I'm not too familiar with the album, the discography, if you will. Let's go through all the Niner answers. By the way, we got them from everybody. Ronald Blair, he said that he was listening to.
I went out and bought the whole theme song for the movie New Edition and all their old hits.
So I guess what, the New Edition had like a documentary about them? And I remember asking him about Mr. Telephone Man, and he was like, I love that song. So let's just pretend that was Mr. Telephone Man. When it came to Marquise Goodwin?
Oh, yeah, Scorpion.
There you go.
My favorite artist.
That was Richard Sherman's answer as well. He's big on Scorpion. It sure was.
Drake was a Scorpion album, but Nonstop is one of my favorites on that.
It's a lot of Scorpion, a lot of Drake in that locker room. Juszczyk?
I'm going to be honest, I don't know if I've ever bought an album of anything. I think I'm young enough that everything has really been on Spotify.
And now I feel old. Damn it, I'm so young and I'm so smart, having gone to Harvard. I don't do stupid things like buy music, you fuddy-duddy. Jeez, freaking Ivy Leaguers. George Kittle.
Beyond by Leon Bridges.
Beyond by Leon Bridges. Sounds like somebody fell in love. Sure does. Raheem Mostert.
I'm a real big fan of Bob Marley and the Wailers and stuff like that, and I like to listen to them, so.
Don't let them try to fool you.
Or even try to school you.
He is the only NFL player I've actually sung with here on the show. Good stuff right there. Nick Mullins.
Okay, the last song I bought, it was on Apple Music. It was Under Pressure by Queen, because Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, just came out.
Dante Pettis, another rookie.
I got the new 1975 album.
The new 1975 album. And a guy who is not quite old enough to be born in 75, but he is without a doubt long in the tooth when it comes to the 49ers. The captain, the tackle, Joe Staley, he's keeping it real. He's keeping it old school. He's keeping it Otis.
Otis Redding, the greatest hits album.
Otis Redding, greatest hits album. Well done. Good stuff, man. Really good stuff. Niners have taken good care of us all year long. Do we have Kyle Shanahan's breakdown of the Carter albums?
I was out last week.
That's right. You were out last week. Kyle Shanahan broke down Lil Wayne's career like he breaks down game film preparing to stop Sean McVay.
That's incredible.
Seriously. Maybe you got to bring up a little Kyle Shanahan if you can find it before the end of the show today. We've been getting a lot of requests to do In Memoriam again. And, you know, it's that time of year. I want to make the people happy. We want to give them what they want. We were going to hold it and play it again tomorrow. And we probably shamelessly will again tomorrow as well, just because. And I got to tell you, I saw a name here on this list that we need to kind of incorporate, I think, Albie. Tony Sperano. Tony Sperano. He passed away. He was he's the man who buried the football in Alameda and got the Raiders to believe for just a second. Goes on to Minnesota to become their offensive lineman. He passed away before the season started. Absolutely. We missed. I even incorporated it. We can't get to everyone. We're definitely going to miss a few. But Tony Sperano, yeah, he should be on the list for sure. But we'll have that In Memoriam coming up in just a little bit. D. Bruce, the Meek Mill Album Championship. I don't think I can read the rest of that. Da Bomb Slap Off Top. Check it out. I don't know. I don't know. Someone was driving and texting right there. I can tell. All right. Today at Warriors practice, I heard a pissed off basketball team. And you're about to as well. Today was the day where the Warriors decided they didn't want any stupid questions. They were done with stupid questions. They were sick and tired of everybody coming down so hard on what's wrong with them while they're sitting in first place. They are indeed in first place. Today, Klay Thompson was having none of it. He was really upset. Where'd all this go here? Klay Thompson, here we go. I found the buttons. We had a lot of new buttons thrown up on my page today. Klay Thompson, when asked about what's wrong with his jump shot, as people were trying to get into his mind, Klay, he didn't really want to talk about it anymore.
What is someone going to tell me about my jump shot that I can't fix at this point? Unless it's Reggie Miller or Ray Allen, I don't know who I'm supposed to listen to. Larry Bird? Steve Kerr, I'll listen to Steve. Steve shot 45%. But other than that, it's like, I've done this job for a long enough time. I know what I need to do.
I mean, when people could tell, and you could tell that the media scrum that was around Klay was starting to feel like, okay, maybe he's a little frosty. He doesn't want to answer these questions. Like Monty Poole even asked him, like, hey, but, you know, isn't it nice to hear that your teammates consistently come out and support you? And Klay, instead of giving that, like, rehearsed, very well-prepped, Raymond Ritter-approved, like, yeah, I love my teammates. That's exactly what I need. Their support means so much to me. Klay was basically like, what the hell else are they supposed to do?
I mean, just because I've had a few bad games in a row, I'm not going to worry about not shooting the ball well. I'm one of the best shooters to ever play, so I don't really care what people say.
Again, can we play that one more time? Listen to Klay at the end of it.
I mean, just because I've had a few bad games in a row, I'm not going to worry about not shooting the ball well. I'm one of the best shooters to ever play, so I don't really care what people say.
I'm one of the best shooters to ever play. I don't care what anyone says. Klay Thompson. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what the line is. Take the Warriors to beat the Trailblazers tonight. Dame Lillard, anything other than going for 65, is walking out of there with a loss. This team sounds ready to go. Steve Kerr, he was getting very matter-of-fact with the situation that his team is in.
The bar's been set high, and I told our guys that. I gave them that line today. You guys have set the bar really high. Everything takes on a little greater sense of urgency in terms of what happens around the team. We're maybe the most scrutinized team in the history of the league. I know we're right there with the Bulls teams that I played on. It felt the same. But even more so now because of the number of media outlets and the immediacy of the judgment.
Hey, look, there's no doubt. There are more people pointing their lenses and recorders in the direction of the Golden State Warriors than ever before. And more on Christmas Day than ever before at any point in time in this season. More people lean forward to watch the NBA on Christmas Day than lean forward before Christmas gets here. So what you do on Christmas carries the sort of impact of like what a baseball team does on opening day. Even though it counts just as much as the other one, we put so much into it. We count it like week one in the NFL. Even though there's 15 more games to play, we're going to put so much emphasis on week one because we got our first results. Steve Kerr knows that most of the world took a good look at the Warriors for the first time this season, losing by 26 at home to the Lakers. And that's why everybody is up his team's ass. There are also legitimate concerns. A lot of those legitimate concerns are in the direction of Draymond Green, who today officially was not having it. He swears twice. We get to bleep Draymond twice as he's talking about what he's going to get cooked up, ready to go, coming real soon for anyone who sags off him.
My defender going to have to pay. So whatever action I'm in, I'm going to start lighting their ass up. And that don't just mean scoring, by the way. I ain't really been doing me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't been playmaking like I can. I ain't been scoring when I got the opportunity. I ain't been rebounding like I can. I ain't been defending. Like, I just haven't been myself. You know, so I think everybody's kind of looking at the scoring or whatnot. I don't really look at that. You know, like, yeah, I got to be more aggressive on the offensive end, but I just got to be me all around. You know, like I said before, sooner rather than later, they're going to have to pay. And then they'll have to switch their up.
Hey, come on. I like the Warriors against the Blazers tonight. I like them a lot. This sounds like an angry basketball team. And the Warriors don't play angry often very, very much anymore. They don't. There's no reason for them to get angry at the regular season. There's really not a lot of reason for them to get angry at an opponent. Maybe getting a little angry at the media and running out of patience with questions about what's wrong as they, by the way, here's a fact about the Golden State Warriors. Even though they're 13-11 in their last 24 games, all they are is in sole possession of first place in the Western Conference right now. That's it. That's all they are. As bad as they've been, as bumpy as a ride as it seemed at times, they are in sole possession of first place. Number one seed, Western Conference, if the playoffs started tomorrow, today. That's who they are. We're going to have Steve Kerr tomorrow. I'm already looking forward to that conversation. It'll be our last of 2018. Obviously, there'll be plenty more coming up in 2019. We're not going to have any more from the following list, though, coming up in 2019. We already did this today, but by popular demand, we're going to do it again. Give the people what they want. And people want to say goodbye. In memoriam, we say goodbye to those who said goodbye to us. Coming up next here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you back here. We're going to get out to In Memoriam in just a second. But, you know, I heard Steiny and Guru, where they were talking about how DeMarcus Cousins, don't expect him to be the all-star that you saw playing in New Orleans and saw play in Sacramento when he gets here. Yeah, well, he's not going to be able to, I think, move like he used to, run like he used to. And you could say that he didn't run very well because of the transition defensive numbers were down. And I know the guy's shortcomings. I think he's going to be used differently. I think he is going to be a center who is a bona fide three-point legitimate threat that Draymond right now isn't. I think he's going to pop out to the perimeter. He's going to dive down into the paint to grab a few rebounds, but I don't expect him to be shooting a lot from in the lane. I think he's going to be shooting from downtown quite a bit. Mid-range? Is that his game? I don't really know. They're not going to need him to be DeMarcus Cousins, the all-star. I don't know if he's going to be able to show everybody DeMarcus Cousins, the I'm about to get max money somewhere else player. They need him to be about 12-8. 12-8 is a workload, by the way, for an NBA center. That's not just write it down easy to do, but it could be for him. Grab some rebounds, good outlet passes, hit a couple threes. Give a legitimate big body to just get in the way of another big body on the low block. You don't need to be great. You don't need to be all-star DeMarcus. You need to be better than Damian Jones. That's it. This team was fine when Damian Jones was out there. All he needs to do is be better than Damian Jones or Jordan Bell or Kevon Looney. He doesn't need to be DeMarcus Cousins to be better than them. He needs to be whatever's left of DeMarcus Cousins to be better than them. And I think he's going to be fine. Damon, I can tell you don't watch Boogie too often. He has a post game. He doesn't slay or use the post as much as you think. Yeah, that's what I said. He's going to be shooting from mid-range in the post, or he's going to be shooting from mid-range in the perimeter more than he's going to be scoring down low. He's not a banger. He never really was one. He's got a big body to bang, but that's not who he is, and it's probably not who he should be coming off an Achilles. I don't think we're going to see him until way after the All-Star break. It felt like they were getting us all ready for DeMarcus to make it an early season appearance. But then Christmas Day plans were stalled a little bit. I think DeMarcus got on the court. He had some real, I'm running like I'm about to play practices with the Santa Cruz Warriors. And I think that that's where they were like, whoa, pull back the reins, slow things down. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, not yet. It's going to be a really good weekend of football. We'll have much more on it tomorrow. We were talking earlier with Michael Irvin about how, you know, this is a massive weekend for the Oakland A's in terms of Kyler Murray's performance. If Kyler Murray goes out and he plays great against Alabama, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, everybody's going to have him as like, well, you know, he could be a top 15 pick. Especially with Justin Herbert deciding that he's going back for his senior year. There are not a lot of premier quarterbacks coming out, and this guy's running one of the premier offenses in all of college football, and college football offenses are now what NFL offenses want to be. Don't tell me Kyler Murray slaying Alabama would not turn him into a very viable top 10 pick in the upcoming NFL draft. It certainly would. If that happens, maybe the A's are going to have a serious headache on their hands. Gene Oakland, what do you got, Gene? Gene, are you with me? Going once, twice. No dice. Sorry, Gene. Guess you're not there. He was ready to talk about Kyler Murray. And that's why I just had a little slice of Kyler Murray pie, so I figured we would take that there. That's what I get for being a nice guy. I really think that this is a very, very interesting weekend. If you're a college football fan, if you're an NFL fan, an awful lot of playoff destinies to be told. And if you're an A's fan, I think you got to be rooting for Alabama like you went there.
Roll Tide!
You got to be rooting for them to take Kyler Murray, chew him up, and spit him out to the point where he's like, oh man, I don't want to get hit by football teams like that ever again.
Bama's dynasty has just begun! Kiss my butt! Roll Tide!
Oh boy. Let's see what happens. Oh, by the way, we were saying that of all the 49ers who gave us their album breakdowns, nobody's song breakdown was better than Kyle Shanahan breaking down the entire Lil Wayne discography.
I mean, the Carter One was always the best in the original. I mean, that was the one that got it started to me. Carter Three is the most popular. Carter Five is unbelievable because we've waited so long and it was worth the wait is what I'm trying to say. Right now I'm playing the Carter Five nonstop because it's the newest, but the one that stood the test of time or that really got me started the most on Wayne was the Carter One.
I mean, I don't know what's more amazing, that we got NFL head coaches breaking down rap albums or that we now have NFL head coaches that are officially younger than I am. I can't believe it. I can't believe we lost so much talent this year in 2019. This is a piece that Albie put together today. Really an unbelievable little slice of editing. I want to play it for you again by popular demand because we've had so much positive reaction to this. People are begging for it, Albie. And when people beg for things on radio, every now and then you give them what they want. So without any further ado, our goodbye to those who said goodbye to us in memoriam. 2018, courtesy of the Damon Bruce Show. Another year is in the books, and it's time for another round of goodbyes to share a little 2018 in memoriam, courtesy of the Damon Bruce Show. We'll have to start with the love and, most importantly, the respect we had for a legend.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take out T-C-T.
Goodbye to the real queen, Aretha Franklin. Lynyrd Skynyrd, guitar genius Ed King, well, he's coming home to you.
Sweet home.
The literal father of the Jackson 5, Joe Jackson, passed away in 2018. Marty Balin, a rock father of the San Francisco sound, both as founder and lead singer of the Jefferson Airplane, up and flew away. The music world has always had a sad list of players gone far too soon. Cranberry's front woman, Dolores O'Riordan, was just 46 when she passed away. Her music was omnipresent in my high school days, early college. He woke up when it was over.
So wake me up when it's all over.
Avicii was only 28 years old. Mac Miller, he OD'd at the young age of 26. Mac, we hardly knew you. When it comes to beloved, we had an awful lot of beloved heartbreak here in the city of San Francisco, especially from our world of sports. We lost two bona fide Bay Area legends in 2018. 49ers icon, beloved Dwight Clark, gone too soon at the age of 61 to ALS. We waved a loving goodbye to a man who gave us the catch and to a ball player by the nickname of Stretch. Goodbye to the Hall of Famer Willie McCovey, who left us at the age of 80. Paul Allen changed the way the world computes, and then he changed the Seattle Seahawks. I'm still not sure which was the greater accomplishment. Tex Winter passed away at the age of 96. Winter assisted Phil Jackson on 11 NBA championship teams spanning the Bulls and Lakers, and it would be more than appropriate if his headstone were shaped like a triangle. Sadly, baseball said goodbye to Luis Valbuena and Jose Castillo, who were both killed in a car crash on their way to play the sport that they loved in Venezuela. We said goodbye to 14-year NBA veteran Rasul Butler, who lost his life along with his wife in a sad and fatal car crash in 2018. Former baseball executive Kevin Towers died at the young age of 56. He is the former GM of the Padres and the Diamondbacks, and his fingerprints can still be seen all over the National League West. NHL great Stan Mikita skated off the ice one last time. In Chicago, he was a Blackhawks legend, and to a generation raised on Wayne's World, he was a donut shop where Garth sang Foxy Lady to a waitress.
This is Stan Mikita's Donuts. Excellent munchies.
The Mets lost a legend in their beloved Rusty Staub. You could always get a little barbecue out by the Rusty Staub bleachers at Shea Stadium. Wrestling lost an icon, Bruno Sammartino. A true legend passed away. Football lost its least known icon, a gentleman named George Taliaferro. He died at the age of 81. He was the first black player ever drafted all the way back in 1949 by the Chicago Bears. And the reason why I know all about him is because he went to Indiana University. And for our final goodbye here in the sports world, we go all the way back to the first month of 2018, a month that is always associated with the Rose Bowl. And how appropriate that we remember the Rose Bowl with the voice, as far as I'm concerned, of the Rose Bowl, a legendary broadcasting icon, Keith Jackson Honnelly. He was 89 years old. Hollywood was left aching when it lost the hunk of the 70s, former box office icon, Burt Reynolds.
You've got a great profile.
Yeah, I do, don't I? Especially from the side.
Well, at least we finally agree on something.
Yeah. You both like half my face.
Goodbye, Bandit. R. Lee Ermey took such an iconic turn in Full Metal Jacket, Hollywood kept hiring him to yell at us for years.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Hey, you maggots understand that.
Sir, yes, sir. Goodbye to Superman's first real love, Margot Kidder.
Easy, miss. I've got you.
You've got me? Who's got you?
And let's be honest, when it comes to superheroes, we lost the man who made a universe. Excelsior, Stan Lee. Goodbye to Tom Wolfe, who lit the bonfire of the vanities. Feel free to be an odd couple or to walk barefoot in the park. That's what Neil Simon would have wanted. Goodbye to the creator of Bikini Bottom, Steven Hillenburg.
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Champagne wishes and caviar dreams to Robin Leach, who showed us the lifestyles of the rich and famous. We lost a Van Dyke.
This llama that I paid the $7,000 just dropped dead. It was like 100 years old, and I didn't know.
We lost Night Court's sleight-of-hand judge, Harry Anderson. And we lost a man who defined slight so much, he was simply known as Mini-Me.
Mini-Me? Mini-Me, where are you? Can someone put a frickin' bell on him or something? Great. Somebody get the stick.
Goodbye to Vern Troyer. Hee-Haw's been canceled for years now, but it's official he can't do that show anymore. Roy Clark, he died at the age of 85. And just last week, Shamil Shamazel, Hoff & Pfeffer Incorporated. So long, Penny Marshall.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. With us any rule, we'll break it.
On the world stage, we buried the OG Bush when presidents were presidential. George Herbert Walker Bush passed away in 2018, not very long after his beloved Barbara passed. Rest in peace and thanks for your service to John McCain. As if to defy physics, Stephen Hawking, he died on Albert Einstein's birthday. There's obviously a lot more who passed in 2018. We don't have the time to mention them all. But I want to conclude our goodbyes with what I thought was the most unlikely of stars. He came out of the kitchen, he spoke about food, he drew a line right from food back to who we are as people, fellow citizens of the same planet. I know many of you were as shocked as I was when you heard that Anthony Bourdain had taken his own life. He understood the complex issues that span the globe. He also understood the importance of a great cheeseburger.
If I simply take an isolated photograph of my In-N-Out burger sitting on a table, an anonymous In-N-Out burger, I will get like 50,000 likes in 9 minutes.
Good night, chef. To those who lived long, to those who left too soon, we can only say thank you for the memories. Thank you for being a part of our lives. Fare thee well. Again, Albie, awesome stuff with that. Thanks for doing that, man. He really turns that into a segment that sings. Someone said, Damon, what about Paul Allen? Oh, no, we had him in there. Paul Allen made the list. You got to listen carefully. I said that he invented computing, and he gave birth to the Seahawks of credibility. I don't know what's more impressive. Really, what's harder to do? Change the way everybody in the world works or get the Seahawks to a Super Bowl? Paul Allen was absolutely, he made the list. The one omission that was brought to my attention that immediately made me feel like, oh, we blew that one, was with Tony Sperano. Should have had Tony Sperano in there. 888-957-9570 is the number. A lot of people, really, thank you very much for listening, for liking that. Guy here says, this is great. I've listened both times. Thank you for playing it again. By the way, we had Gene in Oakland call in to talk about Kyler Murray. We went to him. He was not there. Boom. What do you know? He's back. Gene, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Can you hear me this time?
I got you this time.
Sorry for the cell phone drop.
No problem.
That was a hell of a tribute, by the way. Thanks for that. Anyways, I want to take issue with what you said about Kyler Murray. I'm not afraid of him making a ton of money in the NFL and thereby foregoing playing for the A's. And the main reason is the guy's listed as 5'11", and I've read that he's really closer to 5'9", or 5'10". I mean, the shortest quarterback in football is Russell Wilson. He's 5'11", and he was a third round pick. So, and the chances of Murray, you know, shining against what is a lot of people are saying is the best Alabama team of all time, I think, are pretty slim. I think that Murray, if he does choose football, is going to probably be carrying a clipboard around rather than making a ton of money.
You know, Gene, I appreciate your thoughts on that, and you bring up good points. But college football offenses are now what the NFL wants, and Russell Wilson, slightly bigger than Kyler Murray, I think, is a good argument to why Kyler Murray might be getting an awful lot of NFL interest. And if he does come out and put it on Alabama, which I agree, it's a slight chance that they win that game. But if he has an offensive type of explosion against a team that says, you know, many say mirror NFL qualities.
Roll Tide!
Man, oh man. Just be ready for that. Speaking of being ready for that, does James know how we end the show? And like that? Is he ready to go? All right, let him know, because we're almost running out of time here. Let me tell you what's coming up next. Warriors Live. On a night where the Warriors got out of practice today, feeling a little bit frosty. I like it an awful lot. I like the way the Warriors are talking after practice today. They seem to be fed up. Draymond Green, watching him go into... Look at it this way. The way Draymond's talking at practice today, you would think Killmonger mode was coming from Draymond Green tonight.
My defender going to have to pay. So whatever action I'm in, I'm going to start lighting their ass up. And that don't just mean scoring, by the way. I ain't really been doing me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't been playmaking like I can. I ain't been scoring when I got the opportunity. I ain't been rebounding like I can. I ain't been defending. Like, I just haven't been myself, you know. So I think everybody's kind of looking at the scoring or whatnot. I don't really look at that. You know, like, yeah, I got to be more aggressive on the offensive end, but I just got to be me all around. You know, like I said before, sooner rather than later, they're going to have to pay. And then they'll have to switch their up.
So we'll see what Draymond's got for the Portland Trailblazers tonight. Again, Klay Thompson not having any more questions about what's wrong with his shot. He's like, you know what? When it comes to shooting the basketball, I'm pretty good at it. Leave me alone.
I mean, just because I've had a few bad games in a row, I'm not going to worry about not shooting the ball well. I'm one of the best shooters to ever play, so I don't really care what people say.
You got advice. You got tips. You better have a nice perch on that all-time NBA three-pointer list.
What is someone going to tell me about my jump shot that I can't fix at this point? Unless it's Reggie Miller or Ray Allen, I don't know who I'm supposed to listen to. Larry Bird? Steve Kerr, I'll listen to Steve. Steve shot 45%. But other than that, it's like, I've done this job for a long enough time, I know what I need to do.
Allen, Miller, Bird, Kerr, anybody else? Maybe Steph Curry? I like it. I like it when this team feels a little focused, when they feel a little challenged, when they feel a little cornered. And let's be honest, not a lot of teams corner the Golden State Warriors. It's the media that has pretty much cornered the Golden State Warriors. And look, I think local media and its concern is a lot deeper than, are you worried about Klay Thompson? Are you worried about Steph Curry? Are you worried about Kevin Durant? Are you worried about Draymond Green? Like, that is not what we're worried about. We're worried about this team on its edges. We're worried about the decline of Sean Livingston as a viable backup. We're worried about having a lot of D-leaguers, G-leaguers being guys who are logging big minutes. I mean, if Alphonso McKinney weren't this great undiscovered story, where would the Warriors be? From the Chilton Auto Body text line, Damon, I know everyone has their blue and yellow panties in a bunch, but when the core four play together this season, the Dubs are 15-4, and that's pretty good. Like, I'll take my chances with that. You should also be willing to take your chances with a team right now who, beyond their drama, beyond their struggles, beyond whatever defensive issues they face, beyond the home blowout losses, right now, you add up where the Golden State Warriors are in the Western Conference, and they are in sole possession of first place, number one overall seed. It would be theirs tonight if the playoffs started tomorrow. So I'll take my chances with what this team has got and what they're showing, but we just want to see a little bit more. Truth is, it ain't really that time of the year where the Warriors want to show us more. That's coming later, and they do have house credit. We will be talking to Steve Kerr about this tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to the Warriors getting right against the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. I will be stunned if they are anything other than decisive winners tonight with the Trail Blazers in town. Shout out Dame Lillard. I love you. Love watching you play. I hope you go for a double nickel and a loss. I really do. Let Dame get 55 and a loss tonight. I'd be cool with that. Thanks so much to Arash Markazi for joining us today. The Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, thanks to you who called in. Thanks to Albie for all of his great work on all of the stuff that we've done. Not only getting the players together, all the sound together, but in memoriam, Albie did a great job with it. He also hosted 5 Before 5 today, which is a through-the-looking-glass moment for us all. Thanks to James. James, real good job. We've never worked together before. I've seen you around the station. I figure, here's a new guy. I'm not going to need to get to know him. But you come in today, you run the board for Elena, and you're wearing a Bears hat. That's some serious first impression stuff right there, young man. Well done. Thank you. Great job today. Really did a nice job. Thank you for all your help today. Thanks to all of you for tuning in, for listening. John Dickinson. Coming up next from Oracle Arena, getting you ready with a little Warriors Live. In the meantime, thank you so much for tuning in. And remember this, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.